Slacker Podcast. Phil Tiger. Slacker Podcast. Hello Slackers, I hope you have enjoyed season one of the Slacker Podcast, because this is the last episode for a couple of months. God, I sound very croaky on this as well. This must be a 2-day hangover. I went out the other night to watch the 1975 and got pretty wasted. And yesterday was one of the worst days ever. So this is probably why I'm so croaky today. My name is Phil Taggart and I am an Irish broadcaster, a label boss, heartthrob, astronaut, delete as applicable, basically. There's two of those that are true. And it's always been a bit of a trip getting this podcast going at the beginning. It's always been sort of traditional radio for me. That's where I started out. I started working in the BBC about 10 years ago, not as a presenter. I got a job sort of making the tea and bringing guests up and doing some editing through a course that I did through the Dole. So it was actually like being on benefits got me into the BBC about 10 years ago, which is really weird. I started broadcasting on Radio 1, I actually presented about 6 years ago. So it's been pretty cool for me to try something a little bit more speech-based instead of me just, you know, jamming records together, which is what I'm best at. It's kind of a little bit scary standing out and doing it on my own terms, but I've learned a lot about podcasting in season one, and I hope to sort of take all that information that I've learned in season one into season two, when hopefully it will kick off in March, April time. I'm looking to bring my book out around May time as well, so I'm kind of trying to like make sure that everything sort of fits around the right time. I've already recorded a few of the episodes for season two, and they are really, really, really good. It's looking like it's going to be an amazing season. But before we get into our last episode of season one, I just want to tell you that the Slacker Club Night is going on tour in February. So Slacker, actually, it started out as a live night, and it's meant to be one of those nights where, you know, you can come and you can sort of throw yourself about a little bit. You can get into the pit. You can crowd surf. It's meant to be a little bit loose. And we're taking it on tour in Southampton, Reading and Margate on the February the 20th, February the 21st and February the 22nd. Headlining and playing live on the night, we've got the Magic Gang, who are up there with the finest bands in the country at the moment. Their debut album is a joyous guitar record. Like, they've got influences from loads of different places, but like there's just a little bit of the Beach Boys in there that just really sort of gets me over. Actually, you know what? It's making me want to go and listen to it. I'm going to go and listen to it after I finish this. And supporting on the night, we have got a no good, nasty, snottery, bile spitting punk band from Derry. They are called Touts. If you like really legit sounding punk with a purpose, punk with a reason, good lyrics and just frantic rhythms, then you will like Touts. And then I'm going to DJ as well a little bit. I've no idea what the flip I'm going to play in between Magic Gang and Touts, but I'll figure something out. So it's February the 20th in the Engine Rooms in Southampton, February the 21st at Sub 89 in Reading, and February the 22nd at Dreamland in Margate as well. It's booked me hotels the other day, so I'm getting ready for that. I'll put a link to the tickets in the description of the podcast. So this week's podcast is from one of the most eccentric and awesome artists to grace the 16 episodes that we had here on season one of the Slacker Podcast. She is from just outside Bergen in Norway. She is 22 years old. Her debut album came out in 2016. It was called All My Demons Greeting Me as a Friend, which is a great name for an album. She's won tons of awards in her native Norway. She has a mop of blonde hair. I'm trying to tease it in. Have you guessed who it is yet? Yeah. This week's podcast guest is Aurora. And here it is in 3, 2, and a very croaky 1. In the little studio basement in Soho, I've got yes. Aurora.
Yes, you got me, and I'm sitting here with you in the studio.
And we're going to do the interview like this. We're going to sing it for 60 minutes.
And you're going to be so happy when it's over. Little lady.
I love how you're like...
That went really well.
Yeah, it was really
Congratulations.
Good.
Congratulations.
That was a really good interview. Well done. What was your favourite part of it?
I love the part when we sang and it just became like really magical. One of those moments, you know, that, you know, I'll never experience this again.
I liked the bit where you said that your next album was going to be like all death metal.
Yeah, yeah. I did.
Yeah.
With my eyes.
Aurora, hello, how are you?
I'm lovely. How are you?
What sort of mood have we got you in on this Friday morning?
Well, I'm feeling very nice. Is that coffee?
It's a cup of tea.
Oh.
Do you want some?
No.
No?
I'm feeling very good. I'm feeling quite a tiny bit tired, but also very Perkish, a word?
Perky. Perkish works as well. We could get that into the dictionary. It's easy to get something in the dictionary. You just need to get like all of your Aurora fans tweeting about it. Then it becomes into the sort of popular lexicon and then it will end up in the dictionary.
Yeah, perkish.
Okay, so if the hashtag you're using, if you're listening to this podcast, is hashtag perkish.
Feeling perkish?
It's kind of a mixture between feeling perky and feeling peckish. So it's like you're feeling up. And you're like, right, I'm in a really good mood, but I'm hungry.
Yeah, it's kind of like
perkish.
That.
Perkish. Yeah. I'm glad that we've added something to the long history of the English language.
Yes.
Is Norwegian your first language or is English your first language?
Norwegian is my first language. Music.
Music,
and then
yeah.
My second the one universal is Norwegian. Language. And then,
Is it difficult for you, is it difficult for you when... Say we're just talking, we're doing an interview to do it all in English, because I can't speak any other language other than English. So the idea of having to do an interview in Norwegian or French or Spanish would kill me. I would freak out. I wouldn't know what to do.
Oh yeah, well that's I don't feel like I'm getting killed because I think I began reading on English when I was 4.
Yeah,
you know, and Norwegian a year before that, and we learn. Both Norwegian and English from the age of 6 in school, and then Germany from the age of 11, I think. So I know all of those.
So you've got, you're fluent in 3?
Yes. I'm a bit off in German. Sometimes, you know, the wrong word comes out, but I understand quite a lot of it.
Yeah. Does this happen when you do interviews, when you've got like an album out or you're on tour or something, and you just say the wrong thing?
Like, yes.
Yeah.
I say the wrong thing all the time. I'm really bad at thinking before I speak.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing.
I just move on from it and I forget.
You just work it out as you go along.
Yes.
Isn't it? So when you, I kind of like want to get to the start, but I want to play this demo that you've given us as well, right? I ask everybody that comes through to bring with them a piece of music that they did when it was at the early stages of their career, and I've got a piece from you called Awakening.
Oh yeah.
How old's that track?
That's really old. That's from 2013.
What age were you then?
16.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it. This is Aurora. This is when you went under your full name.
Yes.
I can't pronounce your surname.
I know. It was more like a gesture of kindness to the world, so they wouldn't have to kind of think about how to say my name.
Yeah.
I thought it would be easier to just go with Aurora.
I think you're right as well. You confuse the dim people like me. This is an early demo from 2013 called Awakening.
With a tiny rope and a bag of stones and all heartbroken wishing bones, she's going in. She's going home. Oh, this little golden night, fighting every day behind the light, behind the light. Walking faster down the street, red eyes and no shoes on her feet. Going on this journey, determined to complete. This is farewell, this is goodnight, the last time she will see the daylight. See the daylight. And she's gone.
That was Aurora and Awakening when you went under. Aurora Akesnes?
That's wrong.
Well, do you want to give me another go then?
Yes. Aurora. Just think axe, you know, like...
Aurora Axness.
Yeah, beautiful.
Hey, I feel like I'm part of the family now.
You aced it, as we say in Norway.
I've never heard that one before. So that track, Awakening, you wrote that in 2013. Did you like make that yourself? Did you produce it yourself? How did you go about making that piece of music?
I wrote the song before I was signed. I think I wrote it when I was 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. 14? And then I recorded it when I was 16. With O'Martin that used to play in my band, and I produced it with him, and it was my second song ever recorded.
And what was it about that song that you were like, right, I gotta record this one?
I don't know. I just felt like, you know, this is the mood for the day. This is what I want to do today.
Mm-hmm.
And I had quite many songs, but I like this one because it's kind of sad, happy. And I love that mood.
How can you have a sad, happy song about somebody who... Like, it's a young girl who drowns herself. Drowns herself.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she's going on a journey.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, it's kind of like a sad, happy thing because she's... In the end of the song, I think... I remember the lyrics, but I think she kind of... touches the surface of the water again, so you know it's kind of like an open ending. Maybe she changed her mind, or maybe she went into another dimension, you know, a different life, a different world. So it's not really an ending, it's just an ending to that part of her life.
It's very cinematic. I feel like when you were talking about that, I was painting the sort of mise-en-scene in my head.
I am really inspired by images in the head. They're the best.
Movies or photography or everything?
No, in the head, not outside of the head.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the time you got up in front of your school and started singing, and somebody videoed it. What happened there?
Oh, yeah, well, we had, I think, like once a week, 1 hour or 2 hours every second week. We had music education, mm-hmm. or like we just learned, we had music in school. And it was on high school, like when you're like 8th, 9th and 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And we had music, and then there was a thing like an assignment. And you could choose what to do, like play in a band or do a song, sing or play piano. And I thought, you know, I didn't want to work, so I did the thing I thought would, you know, I knew I wouldn't have to rehearse on. And I thought I can just sing a song in front of the teachers.
And
you know?
Yeah.
Because it was just because I didn't want to do homework. And I...
You're like, I sing anyway.
Yeah. And I knew how to play the song because I made it and I play them all the time. So it was just like me being quite lazy back then. Because I didn't really want to be an artist anyway. And then they said, oh, you have to sing a song on the graduation in 10th grade.
What age is 10th grade? I'm not very
I think it's
up on my
15.
Grades.
Yeah. So you turn 16 in the like end of the
okay,
year. But
yeah.
You are 15 for the year.
Yeah.
I think. I was at least. And then I played a guitar, which I did because I loved Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan. And I couldn't play, but I did it. And someone filmed it like the wrong way, so it looks like I'm sitting on the wall sideways, and I think they put it on Facebook, and that's how my management found me.
I mean, it's that a lot of artists would go through the mire of sending demos out and like emails out and like begging for management, please come to me, and you're just like, oh yes, okay, this will work. It's so easy.
Yeah, well, I guess it's often like that in life. When you don't know that you want something, then it kind of happens very easily, mm-hmm. compared to when you kind of really want something and you hunt it. It's really evil that life is like that, isn't it?
It's like...
But it's,
When me and my friends were like quite young, and I'd say about like 18, 19, and we would go out on Friday or Saturday night, and we'd be like hoping that
like one of us would be able to, like, you know, like get a girlfriend or something, and we'd all go out and we'd like do her hair and you know, put on her best clothes and be like, going, right, tonight's the night, I'm gonna meet somebody, it's gonna be really special. And every single night, the night that you would go out to try and do that, you never ever met anybody. It was the nights that you went out, you looked like shit, and you're just like, oh crap, blah blah blah. Then you meet somebody. Mm. It's just, you can't really go looking for it. I think people can smell desperation as well. I think that's like a little smell in the air that nobody knows is there, but people know it.
I think we do.
Yeah,
it's just like couples also trying to have a baby, and it's often very hard when you really try, and when you give up, then you get one. Like a week yeah. after, you're like, oh, it happened. It's very strange that way. But I think it's kind of, I didn't want to be an artist, and I didn't know that was a thing you could do. You know, it's not really a thing.
Did you not like watch TV and videos and have obviously people like Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan that you mentioned earlier, and just like look at them and go, oh, I wouldn't mind having a crack at that. That looks like a pretty good life. Or did that seem too foreign?
No, I didn't really think about it. I didn't really, it didn't appeal to me, that kind of that attention, being on the stage, especially not on TV, especially not on radio.
Yeah.
Just kidding. But it's like, it didn't really appeal to me, those things. Because I did like writing songs, but it was more like I also loved eating good food and masturbating, you know, just like nice things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It was more like that, and I didn't need to share that with everyone.
But you weren't going
to
be a chef.
But it was just like, I don't know, I just enjoyed it for my own pleasure. And then I kind of realized that it's important to share heart music
yeah.
with other hearts, because that's kind of, it's kind of like a duty, like you have to, because it's important.
When was the first moment where you were like, oh wow, music, holy crap, this is fun?
I think I was like 3.
can you remember back to 3? Because I definitely can't.
I
bumped my head a lot though as a kid.
So did I.
Yeah.
It explains a lot, I think. I fell a lot and I hit my head all the time. I got like 2 concussions.
Uh-huh.
But anyway,
from about 4 till about 10, I can't remember. I don't know. Where was I?
I don't remember, like,
what prison was I in?
Yeah, but I remember 3, but not like 6 to 13.
It's the concussion years.
It's the concussion years.
Yeah.
But I remember before that, like the quiet era, I call it, or the quiet chapter. When you stay home, I didn't go to kindergarten because we moved when I was that age,
mm-hmm.
when I was 3, and what were we talking about? Oh, memory, music.
First piece of music you remember?
Yeah, it was Mozart, I think.
Oh, that's very classy for a first piece,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, but it was like not noisy.
Yeah.
And it sounded organic, and I knew I'd seen instruments that I could hear, and I could recognize them from the real world, which I really enjoyed back then. And I remember it just struck me as I think you could understand immediately, because it was just beautiful, really simple, like that.
Your parents sound like they've got a good taste in music if they're playing Mozart in the house when you're quite young.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that when I was sick. We had like a CD of like Mozart and Beethoven and Bach and all of those. Yeah, like, and it helped me when I cried. It made me not cry. I think babies really like classical music. Because it's very, like, it keeps your brain going, and it also makes you relaxed, while it kind of makes you curious, because it's a very special kind of...
What's your relationship with classical music like now?
I like it, but I don't listen to it a lot anymore.
I don't. I kind of feel that, like, when it comes on, or when I'm watching a piece on TV and there's like, you know, or like a film and there's a bit of classical music on, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Why do I not listen to classical music? I feel like you have to hit a certain age or reach a certain level of maturity to go back into classical music.
Maybe. Or maybe, you know, it's kind of like,
I don't think I'm mature enough
for it.
Too
young.
Yeah.
Or mature enough. Maybe it's like a fine line there.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. There's bound to be a time in my life where I'll really enjoy like cognac and classical music and cigars and stuff, but it's just not right now.
Yeah, maybe. I think it is kind of like a very romantic thing. But it's weird because it's weird how they are connected to people in movies. Because it's always like psychopaths that listens to classical music while they like kill someone or eats someone's brain, or you know, it's very strange how they link classical music with kind of intelligence but also being a bit off.
Have you ever seen American Psycho?
No.
Right.
But I've seen the intro.
Yeah.
Many times. Or like when he's in the bathroom.
That's actual Psycho. American Psycho is the one with Christian Bale.
Oh yes, Batman. I love Batman.
Yeah, he's not Batman in this. He plays a kind of like psychotic Wall Street trader.
Oh.
And there's a really great scene in it where he's got one of his victims in his flat, and it's really pristine. Everything is beautiful in it. And the victim's kind of sitting down, just thinks that they're having a drink and having a fun time. And Christian Bale's character walks over to the stereo and just sticks on Phil Collins and starts like giving the whole Phil Collins rundown, going, well, Phil Collins actually back in 1982, and then just sticks a sledgehammer straight through his head.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil Collins is also nice. I enjoy that.
So writing Mel, I don't even know how I get back to it from like talking you through a scene in American Psycho to you writing melodies at six.
Right. Yeah, I did write a lot about death, just to link it.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Nice. Good segue.
A Norwegian Psycho. Well, I really like. I didn't enjoy death, but I was really fascinated by it, and I still am.
At what age did you become fascinated? And was it like, is it something that worries like your parents? Like, if I had a kid and they were fascinated by death, I would probably be a little bit like, okay, are you okay?
It worried my teachers.
Yeah.
Because in every like essay, you know, when you write a short story for the thing.
Yeah.
And then you know, everyone always died in really massive, like, strange ways. And
can you remember any of those stories?
I remember there was, like, this orphan home with a boy and a girl. And the girl was blind, and she only had the boy to kind of help her see the world and to explain, you know, how things were. And he really helped her experiencing her surroundings without seeing it. And he was very important for her. But then the orphanage burned. And then I think she noticed it and saved him because she could feel the heat and hear everything before the others. But then they all died.
I mean, I can understand why that like there was probably a phone call went home going,
but I really like
Mr. and Mrs. Axness, could we see you in our office in the morning?
In every story. And I think, I remember the feedback, like, can you write a story without everyone dying? That would be so nice to see some change in your world. But it's kind of like the only thing we know for certain, isn't it? So
yeah.
It kind of made sense to me to end everything with dying. And I didn't like, you know,
It's your full stop.
Yeah, it is the full stop, and it kind of worried me to keep the story, the characters live, without me continuing the story. I felt like they would just be somewhere forever caught in, you know, there. So I thought I should just kill them.
I thought, like, I would love to hear your take on Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You know that one?
Yes.
Yeah,
and she visits the home.
I think it's just because I've had some porridge, which is kind of reminded me of it. So, like, I would imagine if you were rewriting that at your, like, early age, it would have been Goldilocks goes into the Three Bears' house and she tries out the bed and the porridge and that one's not right, blah, blah, blah. And it just ends with the bears, like, mauling her and eating her.
Maybe she eats the bears.
Maybe she does.
Yeah. And then she eats.
I see how I'm starting to like understand. Actually, I'm not even starting to understand how your brain works, but at least I'm like.
But then
getting
she eats her foot and she becomes a black hole. And that's how black holes are made.
Because.
In space. When a person eats their own foot and they end up in, you know, and then.
They become inverted.
Eternity. Yeah.
Yeah, like I've saw a music video one time of somebody's like lower jaw, the mandible, goes up and eats their own head and then eats the rest of their body and then eats itself.
Yeah, but that's how.
See, I think if you were going to become a black hole, you'd have to eat yourself from the jaw around.
I would begin at my foot.
Which one?
Left.
So you've got a thing about your feet. I saw in an interview before where you wash one foot in the morning and one foot in the evening.
Yeah, I do.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Because sometimes some of the things that, like you say, are so like bizarre that I'm not quite sure whether you're like just saying it.
I like,
because it's quite entertaining.
I like to do that often, to just say things to confuse people.
I quite enjoy it though. I quite enjoy a good like yarn.
But I do actually wash my foot.
Okay.
I don't. Explain. I take that very seriously, my feet. No, it's just because one side of me is kind of easier to bend in the morning when I haven't stretched, and I love to clean the foot that's been inside the bed because my right foot is always on the outside of the duvet. Mm-hmm. Duvet, I know that word.
Yay.
In English. It's always on the outside of the duvet.
Yeah.
Duvet. And then the left foot is always on the inside. Often. It depends whether. Yeah. And then I like to wash the foot that's been inside, you know, the duvet.
I love how you love that word so much. The Have you just learned it?
Yes. Yeah, right. And the foot outside the duvet is, you know, cold and fresh, but the other is not.
I think that's.
And then I just wash the other one because the other, you know, just to keep it balanced.
I think that the two words of this podcast so far are Turkish and duvet.
Duvet.
Okay, here we are at the halftime point. We've only got one more half to go, then the season is over and it is time for a holiday. Or maybe it is time to go on tour, a slacker tour. February the 20th in the Engine Rooms in Southampton, February the 21st at Sub 89 in Reading, and February the 22nd in Dreamland in Margate. Two live bands with the Magic Gang and Touts, who I think you should all go and listen to. That's my recommendation for you to go and listen to music. Go and listen to the Magic Gang, go and listen to Touts, and then make your mind up. You don't even have to come see them live, but if you are about Southampton, Reading or Margate, it would be lovely to see you. There will be a link in the description below to link to tickets. Okay, right, back to the final half of the Aurora podcast.
How do you find the music industry and like all the behind the scenes stuff and all the things that goes with it? Because like it's very different from you sitting down and writing music in your home or in your studio, but then having to go and take it around the world and do things like this and like do TV and all sorts of things. How do you find that? What's your relationship with that like?
I don't like doing TV.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just because I love performing now. I hated it before, but now I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, you know, the rawness of it. But TV is so controlled, and I don't like that.
It's because they make you do things over and over again as well, don't they? You do different takes and stuff.
We never do more than one take.
Yeah.
Because I can't do the same thing twice.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes really bad then.
Yeah.
I once had to do it because we actually sang, we played wrong, and that became really bad. I love like the first. I don't like TV, but I like, and it's always so cold in there, so it's really hard for me to go barefoot, which I have to, because it keeps me a bit grounded on a weird experience like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I like interviews because it's just people, and I like people, and it's nice to talk and to kind of hear what they wonder and to answer the questions and to kind of meet humans. As a friend, and you sit down and talk, which I really enjoy. And the music, you know, the back behind the scenes, this life, is kind of not glamorous and also as glamorous as you would think. It depends what day it is and what time of the day it is.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of work, a lot of traveling, without really seeing the places. But there are a lot of celebration also.
There is
a lot of celebration.
And you meet a lot of people in every city that are very positive about your music, which must keep you going when you're missing home.
It does. And I have books, which I read. I have, you know, my clothes smell like the soap I have, which I wash them at home.
Do you take your sisters on tour with you?
No. I wish I did more.
Because like I one of them is a fashion designer and the other is a makeup artist.
Mm.
And I was thinking about this when I was like looking at notes earlier on. I was like, Does that mean you had to be a pop star to sort of link everybody together?
Yeah.
You know, makeup artist, fashion designer, pop star. I think it's very, I did kind of...
It's
like your parents are like a record label.
Yes, they are.
Like an entertainment label.
Yes, yeah. They are. And yeah, it's very strange, isn't it? And I think they're both, I think we all kind of decided to become what we became at the same time also. But, you know, I don't really need a designer or a makeup artist. I think if they weren't doing that, I wouldn't have, you know, used it because I don't really like makeup and I don't really like having to wear something I didn't, you know, that I didn't. I like to decide everything.
You feel like, I feel like you've got your fashion on point yourself.
But it's very amazing because we are best friends. And it's amazing, like, if I blush on TV, it's good that Miranda can kind of fix that. And if, you know, small things like that, that actually helps to calm me a bit down because I feel like people can't, you know, see on the outside at least that I'm nervous or embarrassed. Even though it's kind of cute, it depends what kind of day it is. You know, it helps with the anxiety of certain situations. And I don't like when people touch my face. So she's the only one allowed to. And she's really gentle and kind. And she's the best old sister I've ever had.
So this is another reason why you don't like TV? Because they have to put makeup and stuff on you? Like, yeah, don't touch my face.
I don't like it. But no one touches my face. It's only Miranda.
I'm so tempted.
And then I would kill you.
I know, exactly.
You know, I would.
I know you would as well.
But it's like, and then I don't like to have water in my face either, actually, except for rain. But I can't shower like a normal person. I have to, like, I have to have like a towel on over my face.
Over your face, yeah.
Because it really panics me when I get one drop of warm water on my face.
Oh, really? So what about like
I don't like
swimming?
It. No, I don't. I can't swim. I can if I'm in the ocean.
Yeah.
I don't know. Outside is different. Everything is different outside. Because I love Mother Earth. Like the ocean and the rain, that's just perfect. But inside, I can't.
A swimming pool?
No. I really don't like, I don't know why, there is just something that makes me quite stressed about it. Maybe I fell into a water when I was a kid or something, I don't know. But I never liked it since I was a baby to have water in my face.
See, I won't go out above my head in the ocean. If I can't stand up, I panic and I'm like, going, oh God, get me back to shore. So like a lot of my friends are surfers. And like they'll be out surfing like big waves and like looking like rad dudes, tubular rad dudes.
Yeah.
And I'll just be on like the little what do you call those things? Those big sort of surfboards for beginners.
Baby board.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be on the baby board, like just looking like an absolute loser.
A loser on the baby board.
That's me.
I like that.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Think that's a good guy.
Gotta get my moves.
I'm sorry.
Get them
but
some
I,
sun.
I just spoke about Miranda, so I have to speak about Victoria also because they're both sisters.
Yeah.
She's also very lovely and she makes clothes and she's really good at it. And it's perfect actually to have the opportunity to ask, like, can you please make this? And I sometimes make a drawing for her and sometimes she draw, you know, and we kind of just make it together and then she makes it. And it's quite.
What about this that you've got on?
This
right
I
now?
Bought. It's a very expensive dress actually, but we cut it in two.
Yeah, it looks really cool. But when you're out on stage and you're performing,
then it's just old things.
Yeah,
maybe I use some parts of things me and her have made together.
Very,
but
it was
I
a
like
very,
to
like,
put together
billowing dress. It was like I'm so bad at describing fashion. Like my missus says this to me all the time.
Yeah, me too. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, but you were wearing like big Doc Marten shoes with a big white dress. It was like almost like a wedding dress, but with Doc Martens. I was like, that looks really cool.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like putting on whatever feels. And I like many things from the different. I don't even know. I hate when people ask me to describe my style.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it can change a lot. And it's I just like to put on whatever makes me feel like I feel on the inside.
What about the Aurora fan base? They seem like
they're lovely.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, they are. They're a lot of fun. They're good friends. I feel like my fans are friends because they know they can kind of talk to me like a normal person. And I know that I can tell them that, okay, I'm a bit tired. I don't have any energy to take any pictures right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not going to be talking to anyone on social media because I hate my phone. So I'm going to be away for a month. And they understand all of that also. So it's kind of like they understand.
And they
I'm
stick
human.
With you as well, because obviously people on social media can be very fickle if they don't have a certain amount of postings and people saying this, that and the other, then they'll go away and find somebody else. But
really?
I think your fan base seems like they're...
I think so.
Locked in?
Yeah, they are.
What are they like?
They are very different, all of them.
Uh-huh.
But I think they all have something in common with me. And I'm many things, and so are they. I have been an outsider in certain worlds. There's always one place where you feel like an insider. But most of places you may feel like an outsider. Mm-hmm. And I'm emotional, and I get easily stressed, and I'm quite an introvert, but I can be outgoing. And I think all those things is just very human, and many of them have many of these things in common with me. You know, there are a lot of weirdos in my fan base.
Because you're a bit of a weirdo too.
Yes.
And so am I, so it's fine.
Yeah, but it's important that it's not...
We're all weirdos.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Humans are so weird, so strange.
It's always the normal ones or the weirdest ones as well. That don't tell
those
you
Those are
about
the
it.
Ones that kills people while listening to Phil Collins. You know? So it's it's nice. I just like when people can embrace that and kind of, and not try to be something they're not either. Just relax about it. It doesn't really matter what we are or how we are, as long as you're slightly bit happy.
What do you like in the studio? Are you very, very much, this is my song, you have to follow me, sit there, do that? Are you like going, right, collaborate, or?
It depends. I'm quite bossy. I think, I think it's nice for certain people to work with me, and some people can be quite, it's not right, because I'm quite bossy. If the idea is good, then I love it. If it's not, then I hate it. And I'm really like, I know what I want. I like it really quick. I'm really eclectic. Like it's everywhere, and I like to do things now. Like if I found a new sound, I want to go and record it. Now, even though we're doing something else, we need to stop that and do this instead. And then, it's very like, you need to be very awake and very ready.
Sounds like your engineer has a lot of patience.
Yes, yes, definitely.
But I would imagine that the people you're working with on this new record are the people that you work with on the last one, because they'll understand where you're coming from.
Magnus, a drummer,
has
worked with me on it. And he's also mixing the whole thing with me, and it's very it's very nice to kind of. I also wanted new people because I wanted it to feel like a different chapter. But for me, it has a really clear concept, and it's connected to both my past album. And my third one, which I've begun to work on already in my head. So it's kind of like a bridge in between the two. And
so if Queendom is the single that bridges into this album, does that mean that it's quite sort of a very proud of being female, proud of being me, proud of what I've achieved album?
No.
No? All right.
That's just...
I love guessing these things.
That's wrong.
I always get them wrong.
I know, but that's why the album is not going to be called Queendom,
okay,
for example.
Sure.
Because Queendom is just one very tiny part, extremely tiny part, compared to what the album is about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, but it is a very good beginning to it, because it is about accepting and kind of seeing people in the way that we haven't in history, like that the women can be strong, then we're not weak as we have been looked upon all these years, and still in some places, and then same sex love, which some people can't look at as just beautiful as it is, almost more than anything because of the history and the long fight. And then it's about quiet introverts, and that we should listen to them more, because I think we'll have brilliant leaders in this world if we listen to the people that didn't speak the loudest. And, you know, all of those things is just a different, you know, that's what Queendom is about, all of those things. But the album is very, it is about, it's very empowering. I want people, I want people to listen to it and feel like in the now they're actually growing. I want them to listen to it and feel like they can do anything. And kind of, and you know when a song makes you walk faster and with confidence? I just really want this album to do that.
Tell me about Igor.
My algae ball?
Yeah.
How do you know about him? What do you know?
I do. I rang up your parents and spoke to them for an hour yesterday. No, I didn't. I just do my research. I love the idea of Igor.
Maybe I have. Yeah, Igor is my algae ball. He's green. He's about like if you put your thumb next to and touch it with your pointing finger, you'll get the size of him, especially if you're a little girl. And then he's like green brown. I said that he likes to live in cold water.
What is an algae ball?
Algae ball is just a ball made of algae, and the surface of his skin fur looks kind of like grass. And he likes to live in water, and he likes to be cold, and he likes it dark. And you can put him in the fridge if you want to give him like a little spa treatment. And if he turns brown, you can give him some salt and just stir around in the ball to give him some. Like flows, yeah. He lives for 200 years.
I was gonna say algae is like a living. It's not a breathing organism. It's like a plant, but
yeah, and it doesn't eat anything. It doesn't need anything.
He's just handy, isn't he?
He's like, very handy. He's a good
pet
for me.
It's like a goldfish, except even easier.
Yeah, because he doesn't eat anything.
I've got.
He just eat the oxygen in the water. That's all he needs.
I've got two goldfish and. I get absolutely no joy out of them whatsoever.
I'm going to have goldfish in my next video.
I've got one called Pancakes and the other one called Tugboat.
I had pancakes yesterday.
Yeah, what? You ate my fish?
Yes. I'm sorry.
That's not cool. I specified in the email the one thing I didn't want you to do is eat my goldfish.
I know. That one thing I was not supposed to do, I did.
But I don't get that much joy out of the goldfish. I enjoy them having them there and I enjoy looking after them and feeding them. And stuff, but I think they look at me going, I don't really get much joy out of you either. I just see you sitting and watching TV all day.
I get a tremendous amount of joy out of Igor.
Moving on from Igor to somebody who is slightly
less hairy.
I don't know. You can tell me. You might have met her. Katy Perry's a big fan of
She's
yours.
She's definitely less hairy than Igor.
Yeah, I probably. I don't know. Mm. I don't know her at all. I would assume so.
I met her in Sia.
Oh yeah,
at the Coachella festival backstage.
Do people ever like confuse you around. For Sia because you've got like a fringe and sort of the same color hair?
No, it's quite okay.
Yeah,
and it's and she doesn't have a fringe. Or when I met her,
yeah,
and Katy Perry had short hair, and I remember I didn't know who they were, and I was next to them for quite a while before I said, oh, yeah. And then I went over like a meter, and I walked that meter, and I said, hey. And then we hugged, and I talked to them a bit, and then I went to eat a veggie burger. And it was good. I ate half of it, and then I gave it to someone that was too drunk, and I said, eat this, my friend. And she said, you're my pal. And I said, you're my bro.
Katy Perry who needed the veggie burger?
No, she was very nice.
Just give me a veggie burger. I'll take the food out of your mouth.
No, it was very okay. She's very, very kind.
I don't feel that the whole sort of celebrity whirlwind and the carnival nature that comes with all of that, like, you know, people like Jaden Smith, who's a big fan of yours, and Katy Perry, like. You don't really. I don't think you really care about all of that, do you?
No, I don't, because it's just people anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't really. Of course, it's nice, especially if they actually, you know, they. I could see that they want to help me on my way. Then it's really heartwarming, because it's really nice to do that for another artist and kind of.
Do you do that for other new artists that are coming through? Do you help them out?
I do it for all my friends in Bergen, like Norwegian artists. And if I really like something, I definitely share it. But it depends who it is. It needs to be a friend.
Yeah. I've got, like, the music scene in Norway is just too good at the moment. There's so many awesome artists. Do you know any of these? Because I'm playing them a lot and I love them. Gundalak.
Yeah.
He's cool.
I shared his newest single before the album, Control, with my fans, and they really, really liked it. We did a duet together.
He's really cool. Smears and Sigrid and Anna of the North.
Yeah, and we know all of these people.
Yeah.
It's a small country and we all know each other. And they're all really nice.
I've been to Norway twice now and I love it. It's such a really well put together country.
Where?
Is this where you're going to like be like, oh, did you only go to Oslo?
Yes.
And this is where I'm going to say, I've only been twice, so yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like, okay, I'll not say I like Norway, I love Oslo.
Then I'm gonna invite you to Bergen and we'll have a chat there.
Okay.
I think you'll love it.
It's two different sides of the same coin, is it? Like a lot.
Oh yeah, it's Bergen's very a lot different.
Yeah.
But I don't, I
What makes
I
Bergen love Oslo. Different?
It rains more, it's built in a fjord, you know, so it's very, the nature is very eye-catching over there. And it's small. You can walk across the whole thing in like 20 minutes. The people are very nice, very down to earth. And you have these seven mountains kind of surrounding the whole thing. And you can go for hikes on them. And one of them has actually a tram going up for the people that don't want to walk, but they want the beer on the top in the cafe. And it's very beautiful. It has a special vibration.
Are you much of a hiker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you miss home a lot when you're away? Like, would you, if you weren't doing what you're doing, would you be still living in Bergen?
I live in Bergen still.
Yeah.
I would never move. I think.
Not to LA. Not to London.
No.
No.
No. I don't mind any of them, but it's just not Bergen. It's just not the same, and I love it. Being able to speak Norwegian again and to go to a bar and you know everyone there and you know the people working there. And it's like last weekend when I forgot my scarf.
You looked around for it like lost it. Yeah.
When I lost my... I did lose it on the way out of the taxi and the lady came running after us. He was having a cigar and I, in my head then, I was like, oh, this scarf is going to help you with your throat, because it's not good for your throat to smoke. So I gave him this, like, and then he woke up with it the next morning. And then, you know, because he knows the bar, he gives it to her. You know, and then I go there the next day and he said, oh, it's your scarf. Because it's just nothing truly gets lost in Bergen, because everyone knows who it belongs to.
That happened to me in Belfast when I started out working for the BBC when I was like in my early 20s. I used to like go to the pub on a Friday night after I finished work. So me and my friends would go to the pub and we would just stay out and I'd have my like bag on me with my laptop and stuff in it. And every single Friday for about 3 or 4 months, I left the bag in the pub to the point where after 2 or 3 weeks, they'd phone me up on a Saturday morning going, oh, we've got your fucking bag again. Just come down and get it. I was like, how do you even have my number? I forgot your bag again. Yeah, I'm pretty forgetful.
Yeah, me too.
I need stuff pinned to me.
Yeah, me too. But I don't mind forgetting things. If they really want to be near me, they'll come back somehow. And if, you know, and if they disappear forever, I'm okay also.
One of the last questions I want to ask you is how much you knew about Oasis before you covered that track?
One of the guys I did the track with was a huge fan, and he loves, like, he's a football fan of Manchester City.
Oh, no, I'm a Manchester United fan.
Because of
Oasis.
Oasis, you know, so he's a huge fan of them. And
I guess to set the scene is that you did the John Lewis Christmas ad, which was a cover of Oasis' Half the World Away.
Hmm. I hadn't heard the song before, mm-hmm. But I thought it was nice. It's a bit different from what I do, but it's kind of a, I don't know. I really like the purpose of the commercial. Also, I really like the charity they were focusing on that year, because I love old people, and so it felt right to do it. And
that was the ad with the guy on the moon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And like everybody was like going, why is that guy on the moon like looking in a telescope to like young children?
Because he's
and
then lonely.
Everybody was like, well, it's weird, huh?
People are so stupid.
Yeah.
Well, it's beautiful. We just hunt for the wrong. We just hunt to kind of, we love when people step wrong, don't we?
Yeah, people put,
it's
their,
really
put their own sort of like sadistic
and they want to,
vibe on it, really.
It was
meant to be quite innocent.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like turned into something completely different.
Well, it explains more about the current state of the people, I think, than it does, you know, because it's a really beautiful thing. You know, he's lonely and he's far away from everyone else, everyone he knows and the world he knows, alienated. It is very much like that sometimes with old people, that the world kind of forgets that, you know, they know much more. And I really care about old people. I love them.
I like the fact that you thought John Lewis was like a person that you were going to meet.
Yes, I was so excited to meet him. But he
Mr.
died.
Lewis.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Lewis. Because I have a guy on my label called Tom Lewis, and I thought, are they family? But no. But I didn't meet John Lewis because he's dead. But it's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah, it is all right.
I've got one final question to ask you. And that would be, what advice or what tips you would give to somebody who is starting out in music right now? They've written a couple of killer songs, but they don't really know what's going on.
Well, it's all about the songs, isn't it?
Mm.
And for many people, that's a hard thing to do, especially if you try to shape yourself into an expected version of yourself, rather than to just let your own mind kind of just explore every possibility and find out what it likes first. As long as you're open with yourself and know that it's okay to step wrong and try again, it's okay to kind of hate what you've done but love what you do, and enjoy the hunt of kind of the next thing you're going to do in the future. I don't know what I would say, because there's not really a way, any right way to do anything in life. But just keep going. I've worked really hard. And one year I had over 200 shows. And you just have to like work really, really, really hard, because nothing happens if you don't. And you just don't lose hope, I think. Because if there's one thing the world needs more of all the time, it's music. So you'll always be needed somewhere, you know.
I mean, that's as good an answer as I could have hoped for. Aurora, thank you so much for this very perkish interview.
Perkish? Yes. Duvet, me and my duvet. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much to Aurora and her team for making this happen. She will have some amazing new music out, and I would hazard a guess. As I'd say, it's pretty safe to hazard a guess at this. She probably will have a new album out this year too. Nay, she will have a new album out this year. My main thanks for all Slack and Podcastings related go to Adam and Jenny and Chris and Barney for all of their help with season one of the Slacker podcast, and for their future work into season two of the podcast, if they still want to work with me after everything, because that makes it sound like something really bad with it. Really didn't. A lot of love to the people at Soho Radio for letting me use their dungeon studio as well. Right, okay, it's time for me to get busy booking up season two of the Slacker podcast. I'll be back with a new and improved podcast in a couple of months. Thank you so much for listening. See you later. Bye-bye.